The Gospel of Mark, Lesson 2, Chapter 1, Verse 1 to 20. Verse 1 to 8, John the Baptist, the day of God's visitation. God has always spoken to his people in the Old Testament, and God will send prophets to speak to the Israelites as far back as several thousand years BC. God's word was scarce when they didn't listen and they were rebellious. According to the original text of the Bible, it says the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and there was no frequent vision. For the Jews were still in the Old Testament at that time, justified before God by the covenants of works. Once they couldn't comply with the terms of the law, God had to discipline them. As a result, for nearly 800 years, other nations had been ruling over the Jews as the punishment for breaking the law. Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Macedonia, and Rome all ruled them in turn. The colonies' citizenship was third class. Low status, low income, under oppression, and being discriminated. As a result, they did not have a fruitful or prosperous life. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. As God became silent, unsettling to Israel for nearly 400 years after the last book of the Old Testament was written. So the entire nation appeared to have reached a point where there seems to be no hope, and most of the families were living a miserable life. Where there's no hope, what people desire most is a sign from God that will save them from desperation. For instance, if you are employed but know that there's a well-paying job available in 6 months, you will sit still easily. If you know that the medicine you are taking will completely cure you of this serious long-term illness in a year, you won't worry about it. The worst thing is that you don't know what will happen in the future. Anxiety is often caused by not knowing what will happen and not being able to change it. When God kept silence to Israel for nearly 400 years, it must have been a very desperate time for Israel. The book of Malachi chapter 4 verse 5 contains God's final word in the Old Testament to the people of Israel through the prophet. It says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes." The great and terrible day of the Lord is also known as the day of the Lord, or is called the day of your way, or the day of God's visitation. The Jews recognized the significance of this day and expected God to visit his people, reveal himself clearly, and allow them to be saved and delivered. The Old and New Testaments are separated only by one sheet of paper in a Bible, but they are 400 years apart in history. Israel hoped for liberation and revival. Under these circumstances, the godly part of the Jewish people eagerly awaited the arrival of the prophet, John the Baptist. In Israel's culture, the prophet was as important as the king. As a result, when John the Baptist began his ministry, some Israelites appeared to see the hope and believed that the day of God's visitation was coming. This is why when John the Baptist appeared, part of the Jewish community were astonished greatly. All the godly Jews who still believe in God's promise heeded John the Baptist's preaching and called for it to be baptized in the River Jordan. Other Jews who saw their religion as a ritual also sought baptism from John. Verse 9 to verse 13, Jesus is baptized and tempted. The order in which the day of the Lord will come, according to the final chapter of Malachi in the Old Testament. The first step is the appearance of a prophet, followed by a visit from God himself. At the time, John had already been proven to be a prophet sent by God. So when Jesus went to be baptized by John, God manifested a miracle to show the legitimacy of Jesus as the Messiah sent by God. The Jews are well aware that the Spirit of God usually only comes to kings, prophets, and others in position of power. So Jesus' baptism had been marked by a huge miracle to demonstrate that he was different from everyone else. At this point, the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove to demonstrate that Jesus was God himself visiting the world. There was a vision in heaven when Jesus was baptized. The sky was like a great storm, and the sun broke through the clouds, and the light was so brilliant that a barrier between heaven and earth was torn apart at that moment, like tearing a hole. In this way, God's actual voice endorsed Jesus. Our Lord Jesus Christ is God's beloved Son. Speaking of baptism, let me extend more about the distinction between circumcision and baptism. Circumcision was a religious ritual in the Old Testament as a sign of the covenant that the people belonged to God. Boys must be circumcised at the age of 8, at the 8th day. It is a binding agreement between God and his people. It means I belong to God. Anyone has this covenant relationship with God, they are God's covenant partners in the family of God. There are three types of law in the Old Testament, namely ceremonial law, such as sacrifice, circumcision, and the Sabbath. Moral law include things like honoring parents and loving your neighbors. Civil law such as theft, murders, prohibitions, indemnity clauses, and so on. Matthew 5:17, Jesus said he did not come to abolish the law but to fulfill it. As Christians, we are in the Lord Jesus. Pastor Daniel often uses the Russian door as an example to show that our identity is now hidden in Christ. Jesus fulfilled the law for us, especially in ceremonial law, away from Christianity. Those heavy rituals won't be compulsory terms for Christians. For example, according to the Jewish law, a sister who menstruates will be unclean for 7 days. New mother will be unclean for a month after she gives birth to a child. There's no such thing as cleanliness or impurity in menstruation for Christian sisters. We also do not have to keep ritual on food, drink, or Sabbath. Those ancient rituals are like finger pointing to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. After Jesus came, this circumcision ritual was replaced by baptism. As a result, we who belong to God no longer need to be circumcised, but rather baptized as a sign, and our circumcision is in the heart. Now we will discuss the event in which Jesus was tempted. To be honest, the events of Jesus' baptism, temptation, and crucifixion were not glorious events. As the Son of God, Jesus is fully God, and the devil cannot tempt him because he is God. The devil is not qualified to do so because he is a created being with no right to tempt God. The baptism of John was a baptism of repentance. Receiving John's baptism meant admitting to be a sinner. The Father desired that Jesus go through the baptism process in order to identify with us, sinner, through John's baptism and accept the baptism of repentance on our behalf, as if he was sinful when he was sinless. The Father wanted Jesus to be tempted because Adam failed in the Garden of Eden's temptation, and Israel failed in the 40 years wilderness temptation. The Holy Spirit urged the Lord Jesus to go into the wilderness and be tempted by the devil in order to identify with sinners and demonstrate that he could triumph on our behalf. Finally, the Father assigned Jesus to be crucified in order for him to identify with sinners in his death and to die on our behalf, which is the highest level of identification. We now can live for the Lord as he died for us. Verse 14, Jesus was preaching in Galilee. If you combine the four Gospels and put them into a complete chronological sequence, you will find the five periods of Jesus' life. Infancy, preparatory period, prestige period, crucifixion period, and resurrection period. There's a relatively obvious line of events in Matthew, but the description in Mark is very fast-paced. You will see full of the immediately in the article. Jesus' service is like traveling through time. So while John was in prison, Jesus began to preach in Galilee, saying the time is coming and the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the gospel. This was not the first time Jesus had preached, but his ministry had begun to enter a period of prestige. Didn't John the Baptist said, he shall increase and I shall decrease? As a prophet, John also had an obligation to speak up about the moral immorality in the society at that time. John blamed King Herod, saying that it was immoral for King Herod to marry his sister-in-law. So King Herod's family hated him. First, they put him in prison, then they beheaded him. When John the Baptist stepped back from the stage of history and fulfilled his mission, God took him to his glorious home in heaven, and the official beginning of the Lord Jesus service was known by more and more people. The Lord Jesus has his own preparatory period for his service. The preparatory period is for equipping him. Without knowledge and truth, it is like the blind leading the blind. One cannot go to war without equipping themselves. Even when God's own son was 12 years old, he was so absorbed in a synagogue that Mary and John thought that he had gotten lost. After the age of 30, the Lord Jesus officially entered the prestige period and began to preach and perform miracles. As we see that even the work of Jesus is divided into preparatory and prestige stages, now I'd like to apply this information into our life's application. By taking the preparatory and prestige period of Jesus, I hope you will see that as long as you rely on the Lord, your present waiting will not be an obstacle in the future. Moses was 40 years old when he killed a man and fled into the wilderness, where he stayed for 40 years. Until he was 80 years old, he was called to lead the people of Israel as a leader of more than 600,000 people, not including the Levites, women, and children. Moses was like a king, and many people were entrusted to Moses at that time. The population was comparable to that of a large country today. Can you wait any longer than Moses, who waited 40 years? The Son of God himself was equipped for his prestige period when he is 30 years old. Isn't this a good inspiration for us? So brothers and sisters, whether you are in any stage of life, don't worry about your own situation. As long as you're waiting with hope in Christ, under God's guidance, the time you spend will become an asset for your future. Let your faith and actions speak for themselves as you pray. Instead of stressing over, focus on getting ready for the next step and waiting on God. Verse 15, Jesus preached repentance. The hope of the Jews for the coming of the Savior Messiah is the kingdom of God has come. Then the religion, economy, culture and politics of Israel can be revived. They are full of the thoughts we, the state of Israel, can go from being a colony to being a master. Our God is in charge, and then we can eat better, dress better, and we can be superior people. But when Jesus began his ministry, he said, "Repent, for the time is come. The kingdom of heaven is near." When the disciples heard the preaching of Jesus, it totally overturned their original thought about Messiah. Among them, Simon Peter, who was a zealot, who was straight-faced and dared to love and hate. He belonged to a group of the Jewish people who were called to be revolutionary, who was against the Roman Empire. Before he knew Jesus, his goal in life was to overthrow the Roman government so that the Israelites could be their own rulers. There were also other representatives among the disciples, such as Matthew, the tax collector. They were mouthpiece of the Roman government, and his goal in life before he knew Jesus was to get some benefits from under the protection of the Roman government. The role of the tax collector looked like a traitor to the Jews themselves. They are not classy in a Jewish mind. Through these two figures, you see that Jesus' disciples were represented by a wide variety of classes. These people have different conception of the kingdom of God. Verse 16 to 20, Jesus called the four fishermen to be disciples. Verse 16 to 20 are about the Lord calling the fishermen to follow him, to fish for people. The Lord had many disciples, of which 12 were relatively major disciples. Here are four fishermen: Peter, Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. The Lord actually had more than 12 disciples, and he revealed himself to over 500 disciples after he rose from the dead and before his ascension to heaven. These 12 were close to him, and they came to be known as the apostles. Other disciples of the Lord all come from different backgrounds with different intellectual structures. There were fishermen, tax collectors, doctors, officials, slaves, merchants, housewives, teachers, and so on. These were the disciples whom God had called into his own kingdom, into eternity. So let's stop saying I'm a layman. You're not a layman, you're a disciple of the Lord. If you're not a disciple, you have nothing to do with the kingdom of God. Then what is the difference between preachers, pastors, fellow workers who serve full-time in the church, and brothers and sisters who work in the marketplace? The difference is that God has entrusted us with the different tasks, but to build the same kingdom. Christians' goal and value supposed to be a consistent one, which is the kingdom of the Father. Have you figured out what's the specific calling for you from the Lord in his kingdom? Then the Lord Jesus called his disciples. He preached the word of repentance. They are not taught to overthrow unreasonable regimes, nor are they taught to transform societies. Jesus' entire teaching was centered on the kingdom of God. His 3 years of ministry ended with the disciples understanding that God came to die in our place so that we could be justified before the Father. So we share the Gospels to others so that they may be born again, to know, to love, and to follow and run after God and eternity. We have to look forward to the coming new heaven and new earth that God has prepared for us. As for other goals such as transforming society, it is an exceptional benefit. A Christian who loves the Lord, knows the Lord, follows the Lord, runs for eternity in some way to be able to transform society, able to walk in the light of Jesus, and as a person who does good. For there is the treasure in him, because he walks with God. That's so much for today. Be blessed, and see you next time.